Let me think. Sodium, copper. Ah! No. No. Hooray! I've got it!
He says his mama was scared by a pawnbroker's sign.
Thank you. Greetings. My name is Daffy. There's no other duck like me, because I'm so daffy. And the reason I'm daffy and so gosh darn riff-raffy and so screwy and laffy is because those hunters won't leave me alone. Oh, why don't they hunt some other animal for a change, so that I won't have to end up on a kitchen range? But no, duck hunting's all a rage and they won't let me be. And I'm so full of bullets, I'm lit up like a Christmas tree. There's so much I'd like to do if I just had the chance. I'd like to play and romp and even sing and do a dance. I would read the latest book, go swimming in a babbling brook. I'd like to fly the seven seas, play hide and seek among the trees. I'd play hopscotch and double dutch and this and that and things and such. I know that isn't asking much, but all these things I dasn't touch. It's bang bang here and bang bang there, bullets flying everywhere. I can't stand it any longer, I get weak and they get stronger. Hunters to the right of me, hunters to the left I see. Over hill and over dale, bullets whizzing past my tail. There's no rest and there's no peace, won't this shooting ever cease? Morning, noon, and through the night, that's why I look such a fright. Bang, 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 I'm only 16 yards ahead. Bang, 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 they're shooting straight at me. Hoo, 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 they won't let up until I'm dead. Hoo, 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 why can't they let me be? Why don't they hunt big wild moose or chase a reindeer on the loose? There's possum, chipmunk, caribou, a rabbit for a rabbit stew. Raccoon, squirrels, porcupine, monkeys swinging on the vine. Leopards with or without spots, wildcats with or without dots. Elephants, badgers, kangaroo, lions, tigers, cows that moo. Wolf, mice, and prairie ox, red and gray and silver fox. Daffy, they drive me daffy. Those hunters with their great big guns, they're all their uncles, cousins, fathers, sons, crazy. They got me hazy with all that rootin', footin', hootin', tootin', highfalutin', noisy shootin'. Closer, they're getting closer with shotguns, pistols, bows and arrows, rifles, knives and other deadly trifles. Scram now, while I'm still able. You're nuts if you think that I'm gonna end up on somebody's dinner table. So, goodbye. So long now.
All right, Fudsy, this will be a take, see?
Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit.
Suffering succotash, that sounds worse than a Tweety Bird in a blender. You gotta get with a time, Zomer. Here, try it like this.
Hey, Scooby Rabbit, don't you mess with me. I'm a super wabbit killer, I'm bad, you see. I'm Elmer Fudd, I own a mansion and a yacht, and all the widow ladies dig what I got. I'm on to the teeth and I can't be beat. I'm a crazy old mother for wabbit meat. All the wabbits I catch, they pay me cash. So hey, Scooby Rabbit, better cover your eyes. I'm wappin', I'm wappin', no wabbit's gonna catch me nappin'. I think that before I get much thinner, I'll be taking you home with me for dinner. See, I have this recurring fantasy of using you in one of my recipes. You let all the success go straight to your head, but it's fattening you up, so I'll be well fed. You're a dried up, squirrely old fat Welsh wabbit with a $2,000 a day carrot habit. I'm wapping, and nothing's gonna catch me napping. You're gonna wish you were a specimen in the zoo, cause it's all over wabbit, I'm coming for you. I wear a hunting type chemise and I carry a gun, and I'll blow your brains out just for fun. You could hide anywhere, you could hide in the sewer, but you're gonna wind up at the end of my store. You think you're hot, but much hotter you'll be when you're a batter dipped wabbit quite quicker. See, I'm wapping, and nothing's gonna catch me. Oh, oh.
Well, Fufferin' fucking hash, how'd he get in here?
Hey, Break a break a firecracker. Break a break a firecracker.
So you think you're the Pope, or is your brain fried out on chintzy dope? What's the secret here, Fuzzy? Have you got some serum that makes you all short and fat and gruesome? You chased me through the woods for 50 years, shooting everything with floppy ears. Chasing after me has caused a big sensation, the Elmer Fudd method of vegetation. I'm going to the rabbit club to quaff a few, so here's the last thing I'm gonna say to you. Take your mansion and your broken down yacht, and kiss my sweaty old rabbit jock. Ain't I a stinker? What a dream.
Gee, Fuzzy, you want to try looking again when you're feeling better, son?
Oh, shut up, you rotten old pussycat. I'll get you tooth on you. This is a wet
one. In an abandoned warehouse with no lights, just shadows, and soon no rabbits. The purpose of the event is to pass the torch from one generation heavy metal to the next, and there lies in his black leather hunting outfit with a shotgun guitar with spikes coming out of it, Ozzy Fudd, the Rabbit Slayer.
In the dead of night, a shimmering white gleam of a blade, and the devil is paid. When the axe comes down, a chilling sound. Steel gets the head, another rabbit's dead. I'm a rabbit slayer, a guitar player, with a nasty habit. Kill the rabbit! I'm a mean mistreater, a rabbit feaster, and I predict a bloody Easter. A scurrying shadow, and the shadow moves to stab it, and the night air echoes. Kill the rabbit! Kill the rabbit!
Any more rabbits around. No more Roger Rabbit. No more Peter Rabbit. No more Playboy Bunny Rabbits.
Be very, very careful.
We'll be right back. Hey kids, listen up if you want to be safe, cause your dinner looks like something from a Cronenberg flick. Think twice before you cuss and shout.
Bam, bam, bam.
Let me tell you a story about green eggs and ham. There was a little yellow man called Sam I Am.
That's me!
I don't like you, Sam I Am.
Well, do you like green eggs and ham?
I do not like green eggs and ham.
Would you like them here or there?
I wouldn't like them anywhere.
You know, I can see you in a house. Green eggs and ham with a mouse.
Maybe you can't hear. You got something in your ear?
No!
I'm gonna make this perfectly clear. I would not like them housewives here. I would not like them mousewise there. You think you can convince me, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. Green eggs and ham.
What is with you? This is some lean cuisine.
I'm not some green cuisine.
Deny who you are. You're gonna like them. You're gonna see. You might like them up in a tree.
No, not in a tree. Not in a car. Would you let me be? No house, no mouse, not here or there. Cause you got the problem, Sam, and I do not care for a jellied spam, and I do not like green eggs and ham.
A train, a train, a train, a train. Would you, could you in a train or up in an aeroplane? How about in the dark? We can drive and park. We can listen to the crickets and the pit bulls bark.
No, not in a plane, not in the dark, not on a train, not in a car, not up a tree. Cause I don't like them, Sam. Not in a spring house or a shoebox with a house mouse or a red fox. Not here, there, and everywhere. Didn't even like the Beatles with that long, long hair.
Hey, you lay off the Beatles, buddy.
I'll lay on whoever I want, buddy. No, buddy me, buddy.
You don't like green eggs and ham.
Well, Mr. Perception, Sam I Am.
Well, I know that you'd like them if you ate them with a goat.
Not with a goat in a coat by a moat.
Well, would you, could you, on a boat?
Give us a note and I quote.
Oh, please.
If you eat it, you'll bloat and float like a boat. I'm not interested in stuffing face in the rain on a train. I should introduce you to my friend Payne.
Hey.
Not in the dark, not up a tree, not on your fine china with Earl Grey tea. No boxes, boxes, houses, mouses, husbands and wives.
Yeah,
no spouses. Why you trying to make me eat that? I don't like it. I wouldn't serve it to a cat. I said already, I don't like them, Sam. I Am. I do not like green eggs, ham.
Mr. Cheese, you just think you don't like them, so you say, and he's beginning to remind me of Doris Day. You say you don't like this, and you don't like that. Well, you're starting to sound like a finicky cat.
Just try them, and you may find you like nothing better than two greenish eggs over easy in the fry pan.
And to accompany this fine taste, we have Martian ham, pork from space.
Sam! If you get out of my face, I'll try that. I'll puke all over the place.
Well, good.
Nothing makes a crowd disperse more quick than a great big puddle of sick.
She's gonna try them.
Give it. Try them.
He's gonna spew junk.
Say.
That's French.
Say. Not bad. Green eggs and ham, I believe. I like them, Sam. I Am. And I eat them in a boat. I with the Billy Goat. Them in the rain, in the dark, on a train, in a car, up a tree, they're pretty good, you see. So I eat them in a box, with the fox, eat them in the house, with the house mouse. I'd eat them here, I'd eat them there, I'd eat them in my Calvin Klein underwear. I think you're okay, Sam, I Am.
Well, I wouldn't let you down, you're stubborn old man.
Say, we should share them, eh? We got enough.
Are you kidding? I don't eat that stuff.
It was once spoken that
gratitude is a quality not limited to man.
Though just why it was spoken, no one has ever been quite certain. For at the time of this saying, there lived a poor slave named Androcles.
My friends call me Andy.
However, he was seldom called Andy because...
I don't have any friends.
Androcles was owned by a wealthy merchant who treated him cruelly and forced him to work very hard. From morning till night, he did the cooking, made the beds, scrubbed the floors, and mended his master's torn togas. And for the tiniest little mistake, he was punished severely.
Now hold still, master. There's a fly on your nose.
Don't hit him with that, you idiot. You'll hurt me. Get the fly spray.
Yes, master. Got him.
All right, that did it. Now you know what's going to happen to you.
No, no, master. Not that.
Ah, but the merchant showed him no mercy. He made him stand in the corner for 2 hours. Time after time, Androcles tried to please his master and win his gratitude, but never with any success.
Come, master. I have prepared a nice hot bath for you.
Well, how nice.
Was the water a tiny bit too hot for Master?
And, of course, he was again severely punished.
I can't stand another minute of this inhuman punishment. I'll run away, and I'll search the world for someone who will give me gratitude for what I do.
And so he did. For that very night, as his master lay sleeping, he stole out of the house and scurried away into the darkness. The next morning, Androcles was deep in the forest where he was certain his master would never find him. He was walking along his merry way when suddenly a voice called to him from a dense thicket.
Ho there, stranger!
Ho yourself! Who speaks?
It is I!
Androcles found himself face to face with the biggest, fiercest-looking lion he had ever seen. He was terrified and turned on his heels to flee and would have gotten away but for a huge tree that slightly blocked his path. Certain that the lion was upon him, he looked over his shoulder but noticed that the beast was simply lying there moaning and whimpering piteously.
What seems to be the trouble?
I have a vicious thorn in my paw, and it hurts me terribly. Please have pity. Pull it out for me.
Are you kidding? If I got that close to you, you'd grab me and eat me up.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Honest Injun, remove the thorn. I will be your friend for life.
The poor beast's pleadings were so convincing, and he seemed so sincere, that Androcles decided to take a chance.
Careful now, careful!
Hold still!
Ooh!
The lion was overjoyed with relief and thanked Androcles profusely.
You know, I really feel he's grateful.
Oh, I am grateful.
Androcles was very pleased, for he had finally earned gratitude for something he had done. He bid the lion farewell and went on his way. Several days later, however, fate struck Androcles a cruel blow, for he was captured by soldiers and taken to the city and thrown into the dungeon. It was there that he learned that he was to be used in the circus.
Being in the circus isn't too bad. I mean, maybe they'll let me be a clown.
It isn't that kind of a circus, friend. They're going to throw you to the lion.
This is sure going to ruin my summer.
The following day, the stands were filled, and the emperor and all his court came to view the spectacle. A hush fell over the arena. Androcles trembled. The signal was given. The steel door creaked open, and with a mighty roar, a gigantic, ferocious lion bounded into the arena. The beast had been kept without food for several weeks to make him even more fierce, and he shook his great head with rage. The quaking Androcles prepared to meet his fate when, suddenly, he recognized the lion as the same one from which he'd removed the thorn. A wave of relief swept over him as he shouted,
Leo, wait, it's me, Andy. Do you remember me?
Yeah. You took the thorn out of my paw.
Right. And you were grateful because I did you a favor, so now you won't eat me.
I sure am hungry.
I know, but you still won't eat me. I'm your friend.
They didn't feed me for 2 weeks.
But you still won't eat me, will you? Will you?
Lion one.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. So as you can plainly see, dear friends, the moral to this story is that if you ever do a favor for a great beast with long teeth and sharp claws, and he tells you that he will be forever grateful, don't you believe him. Because you can just bet your boots that he's a lion.
Wilma!
Now there's a show that I watch on my TV set, and I've never seen a show just like it yet. It's the story of two fellas back in Stone Age days, and they've come up with a series that's a brand new craze. 'Cause it's filled with lots of sayings that just knock me out. You know I nearly go crazy when I hear them shout.
Yabba-dabba-doo! Yabba-dabba-doo!
Other one's Fred, and Betty and Wilma are the chicks they've wed. When Fred comes home at night to his loving wife, why, you've never seen a guy get such a greeting in your life. 'Cause you see, he's got a pet who's a dinosaur, and when he sees Fred coming, he just knocks him to the floor and gets excited.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Back, Barney, while I play a tune on my stoner phone.
Okay, Fred, great musical one.
While I go and get some fan mail and send it off to bedrock by the dodo rail. Why, I thrill and I spill my snarkest story stew, and I get so excited I've just gotta shout it too.
Yabba-dabba-doo! Yabba-dabba-doo!
Wilma, open this door. Come on, Wilma, open this door. Wilma!
He comes from a little town of bedrock. He just invented the wheel. He's got his wife Betty in a headlock. He drives a bullet mobile.
Barney,
he likes his chili gun, Barney.
I saw him down at the last weekend. He was the grand wazoo, and he was eating a bowl of fruity pebbles. He sort of was up for you. Some cactus and a stegosaurus. They just escaped from the zoo. Now I'm
golden red bedrock, Barney. He is the life of the Barney. He likes his chili gun, Barney. Barney, he's searching for, he's been searching for, there is a hope. Barney, Barney, yeah, you have a dollar bill.
wandered around in the twilight zone, a little baby Flintstone all on my own. I wandered around in the twilight zone, a little baby Flintstone all on my own. Betty and Bonnie are the folks next door. I crawl around all over the floor. I wandered around in the twilight zone, a little baby Flintstone on my own. I wander around in the twilight zone, a little baby Flintstone on my own. I live in a house with a bedrock door. I crawl around all over the floor. Twilight zone, a little baby Flintstone all on my own. I wander around in the twilight zone, baby Flintstone all on my own. Nino is my dinosaur. His tail's in the kitchen and his head's out the door. Dino, Dino, you sing Wilma?
A yabba dabba doo to you, and welcome to the Bit Slap. I'm KBC, and it's summertime. And to me, summertime was always a time of watching cartoons. You could get up whenever you wanted. You didn't have to rush. You could just watch as long as you wanted until mom got you out and made you do something outside. You know, sometimes it was playing. Jeez. Anyway, cartoons, good thing for summer. And all you recent graduates, bone up because you're going to need them. All right. So anyway, we started out with something from Grampy. From a Betty Boop cartoon. I've got it. He did that a lot. That was his signature move. But it always kind of fits anywhere. Okay? Do for the Dodo was a Looney Tunes from 1949. A remake of Porky and Wacky Land from like 1934 or something like that. We heard from Mel Blanc. That was Daffy Duck Rhapsody. You remember that? You have it by heart, don't you? Yes. Elmer Fudd. Wappin', I'm wappin'. And that was actually Daryl Hammond. Remember Daryl Hammond? He was a Saturday Night Live guy for a while. We heard from Mark McCollum, and that was, of course, Ozzie Fudd. Kill the Wabbit! That was the Rabbit Slayer, right? Okay. And then Underdog Theme was, of course, the Butthole Surfers. Speaking of cartoons, Green Eggs and Ham was the Moxie Fruvis Gang. Fractured Fairy Tales from Rocky and Bullwinkle and Company. That was the one about Androcles and the Lion. You remember them, right? Sure, you have those things memorized too, just like all the others. I know you do. Come on, don't stop. Black Lodge Singers. One guy and like 13 or 14 sons from somewhere in Washington State. And that was, of course, the Flintstones theme. They do a lot of things like that, and they're lots of fun. Frankie Davidson, Yabba Dabba Doo, from 1961, a single. The Flintstones were a genuine craze. I was there. I saw it. I couldn't believe it either, but there you go. Bowling with Bedrock Barney was the Dickies, Green Jello, Anarchy in Bedrock, and the Screaming Blue Messiahs, I Want to Be a Flintstone. And, well, we can't all be Flintstones, but we can pretend by watching the cartoons, just like some people pretend to be John Wayne or Taylor Swift. Who knows? Who knows what people are doing? Anyway, we got more here, so just grab a bowl of sugar bombs and have a seat, and let's go. Okay, here we go.
Little right before he went to bed. Though he couldn't come to sleep, and by, he had funny dreams instead. Well, he dreamed about the bunnies, and each one paid him a call. One by one they came a-marching in his room, and a good time was had by all. Take a look at Crazy Cat, how the kitties go for that, laughing at the bunnies. Here is Mr. Mickey Mouse, seeing, thinking in the house, laughing at the bunnies. Hey there, Skippy, hear the kids all shout. What's the matter, ain't you coming now? Hear that drum, although it sounds tin canny. I'll bet you know the drummer, Little Orphan Annie. Bonnie, Google, and the source, they were surely there, of course. Something happened, what do you suppose? Popeye had an awful flight, hit the villain right upon the nose. Ned and Maggie landed in a lump, bringing up Father and Dandy Gum. Mama's little curly head took a fall right out of bed, laughing at the funny. Ha, ha, ha! Collegiate land, telling Lillums of the funny hand. There's a fellow that is one square shooter.
Yes, sir, you're looking
right at Joe Palooka. Here is Happy Hooligan, going back to school again, learning something different every day. Look at wealthy Uncle Bim, someone ought to marry him, I say. Abe Gavizzle sits inside a hut, building an airplane with Boob McNutt. Mama's little curly head took a fall right out of bed, laughing at the funny.
Whoop!
Thank you. Man, he eats his spinach right straight from the can. Don't nobody mess with him, cause he's so bad. If you don't treat him nice, he'll make you wish you had. Papa got a sweetie named Olive Oil. She kinda stringy, she too long and tall. Her shape is shapeless like a cement wall. But she got a color TV and Papa hurts if you mess with her. She's a girl with a mini charms. She got a big tattoo on her arm. Just below her vaccination is a purple figuration that say, Mother, in old English script. One day on the beach while I'm getting the tan, Blue Toe runs up and he kicks a lot of sand. And Popeye's face grabs olive oil and runs. Think you make a fool of Popeye, have a lot of fun. And Olive, she starts screaming, so he laughs and say, ho, 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 I got you now, baby. That shrimp Popeye can't do nothing about it. Meanwhile, back under the umbrella, Popeye's a groping around trying to get the sand out of eyes, and he say, Lord, imagine what I do with my spinach. He finds a spinach. He gulps it down. And he runs back at Blue Toe, full force. Those jaw, well, bam, flat, that went a left to the midsection and a right to the nose, and oh, he stomped him in the toe. Popeye's was swinging, dodging, kicking, scratching, biting, punching, clawing, hitting, and generally making a mess out of Blue Toe's countenance. And before you know it, the fight's over, and Popeye's a winner. Popeye has saved the day. Blue Toe should have known better than to get in his way. And Olive Oil is so proud of her boat, she say, man, he eats the spinach right straight from the can. Don't nobody mess with him, cause he's so bad. If you don't treat him right, he'll make you wish you had.
apple pie.
No, I like Popeye.
Maybe you like pumpkin pie.
No, I like Popeye.
Maybe you like chicken pie.
No, I like Popeye.
The what pie?
Popeye.
What pie?
Popeye.
Popeye the
Sailor Man. Do you like castor oil?
No, I like olive oil.
Do you like salad oil?
No, I like olive oil.
Do you like peanut oil?
No, I like olive oil.
Water oil?
Olive oil.
Water oil?
Olive oil, because he's the oil. Popeye the Sailor Man.
I like Winty and Popeye and Spinach and Pea Pie and Sweet Pea and best of all you.
There's someone I bet you don't like even yet.
You mean Pluto? I hate him.
Me too.
Do you like cherry pie?
No, I like Popeye.
Do you like lemon pie?
No, I like Popeye.
Do you like any pie?
Yes, I like Popeye.
What pie?
Popeye.
What pie?
Popeye.
Popeye the Sailor Man.
Papa, you're so romantical.
Oh, I am not romantical, I'm nautical.
And now, please rise for our opening hymn, In the Garden of Eden, by I, Ron Butterfly.
In the Garden of Eden, honey, don't you know that I love you?
Hey, Mark, remember when we used to make out to this hymn? Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
I smell smoke in the auditorium. Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see. Why is everybody always picking on me? That's him on his knees, I know that's him. Yelling 7-11 down in the boys' gym. Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see. Why is everybody always picking on me?
Who's always lighting on the wall? Who's always goofing in the hall? Who's always heading for a ball?
Guess who?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you!
Who walks in the classroom cool and slow? Who calls the English teacher daddy-o? Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see. Why is everybody always picking on me? Dig that crazy trombone.
Saxophone.
Oh, well, it's crazy all the same. Boy, I've got the message. Man, the joint is really jumping. Go, man, go. In the classroom, cool and slow. Who calls the English teacher daddy-o? Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see. Why is everybody always picking on me? here he goes again. Here, he's a nutcase.
Our story opens today high atop New York City, in the luxurious penthouse of perhaps the most famous soldier of fortune the world has ever known. Me. How do you do? Excuse the position, just practicing my yoga. Well, now that you're here, we may as well get to know each other. My name is Peabody. I suppose you know yours. I guess you're wondering about this contraption. It belongs to Sherman. He's my boy. Here, Sherman. Here, boy. Shake hands. Say hello.
Hello.
Smart as a whip, isn't he? Now about this amusing little gadget. The story really starts with me, naturally. As a youth, I was just an average genius. The puppy prodigy, they called me. Got my degree at Harvard when I was 3. Wagner cum laude, of course. Then a brief period in the Foreign Service. I speak 8 languages fluently. All at once, that is, including English. Then a few research projects for the government. And I dabbled in the stock market, where I was known as the Wolf of Wall Street. But somehow I felt that something was missing in my life. So I made up my mind to get a boy. I looked high and low, but couldn't find one that met my high standards. Then one day, while watching some boys at their innocent play, I spotted Sherman. My heart went out to him. I'm always pulling for the underboy. I dismissed the others, and Sherman followed me home. He wasn't at all what I was looking for. Oh, he looked at me with those big brown eyes, but I was firm. I took him home. This is where you live?
Yep, that's been home sweet home all my life.
Where have you been, you little brat?
Just visiting.
Get in here.
One moment, sir.
And what do you want, mutt?
The name, sir, is Peabody, and I intend to adopt this boy. Naturally, the newspapers made a big thing of it.
Extra, extra, dog to adopt orphan. Doggy wants to be daddy. Read all about it.
I had to submit references. So I got some old friends to write letters. Then, of course, I was investigated thoroughly. My background was unimpeachable. Still...
But he's not a fit person to bring up a boy. In fact, he's not even a person at all.
Your Honor, I consider that an excellent recommendation. And I finally got Sherman.
This court can see no reason why, if a boy can have a dog can't have a boy.
Daddy!
Sherman, let's get one thing clear. I will never submit to being addressed by that ridiculous name. You will call me Mr. Peabody. Or, when speaking informally, simply Peabody.
Yes, Mr. Peabody.
So, that was that. But I soon found it's next to impossible to raise a boy in an apartment. Guppies, yes, but a boy, no. They need running room. So I built this for Sherman's birthday. Happy birthday, Sherman.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Peabody. Well, what is it?
Well, actually, it's a time machine. I call it a Wayback. We just set it, turn it on, open the door, and there we are. Or were, really.
Pluribus delenda est, interes partes argentum sum.
What did he say? What did he say?
Well, that's simple. He said... Oh, never mind. I'll fix it.
So, friends, for a goodbye in a new or used chariot, it's Publius Maximus the Grinning Gaul.
It sounded better in Latin. Can we go somewhere else?
Of course.
With this key, friend.
Mr. Franklin, the lightning!
I intend to demonstrate the principle illustrated by the storage properties of the Leyden jar.
B.F., the lightning is...
Gee, we couldn't get a word in edgewise.
I know. A few more adjustments, and behold, not a time machine, but a should-have-been machine. Observe.
With this key, friend...
Mr. Franklin, your kite is going to be struck by lightning.
Oh, really?
It's nice to be a part of history. But all in all, it's just the thing for a boy in an apartment. Eh, Sherman? Well, I thought it was. Of course, he's only a boy, and...
Mr. Peabody, that's the nicest present anybody ever had.
Yes, of course, Sherman. No doubt about it. Every dog should have a boy.
Want
once upon a time, in a faraway kingdom, there lived a little princess. Her father was a king, because that's how those things are. He loved his little princess, and so did all the people of the kingdom.
Huzzah for the little princess!
Huzzah?
Well, that's fairy tale for hooray!
Oh.
The little princess was very happy, and small wonder. She had everything and anything she wanted. Beautiful little jewels to wear, a lovely little garden to play in, a little mechanical horse to ride, even her own little castle to live in. All went well until one awful day when the princess began to grow. She grew, and she grew, and she grew. The people of the kingdom were greatly disturbed.
What's all the fuss?
The little princess has grown.
So? All princesses grow.
Like that?
Oh.
The king was very upset.
My little girl's all grown up.
But he made the best of it.
Nothing will change. You're still my little girl. You'll have everything just as before.
So the king summoned the royal jeweler and ordered him to make some special jewelry. It was huge. He commanded the royal gardener to grow some special flowers. They were enormous. He ordered the royal engineer to make a special mechanical horse. It was tremendous. He even told the royal architect to build a special castle right next to his own. After all that, you'd think everything would be fine. But no.
No? No, Your Highness. We're broke. Broke? Shattered. There's not a pazooza left in the treasury. Jewelry, garden, horse, castle, in that order. They all add up to broke. Well, what do you suggest? To get some pazoozas. What else? Taxes.
And so the people of the kingdom were taxed and taxed and taxed. There was a tax on fences.
100 pickets, 100 pazoozas.
There was a tax on trash.
3 cans, 3 pazoozas.
On doors.
1 door, 1 pazooza. 2 doors, 2 pazoozas.
There was even a tax on smoke.
7 puffs?
I know, 7 pazoozas.
And a tax on children.
8, 9, 10, 10 and a half pazoozas.
As a result of the taxes, the people of the kingdom became angry. And you know who they blamed?
It's her fault.
Look at those jewels. Rocks from the mountains would have done.
Look at that horse. It must have cost 1,000,000 pazoozas a day to run that thing.
Small wonder we got high taxes.
Yeah, small wonder.
Why don't you get a job?
Yeah, you're big enough now.
Upon hearing this ridicule from the people who had once loved her, the princess became very sad.
Look at that.
We'll be flooded out.
You mark my word, next year we're going to have a tax on umbrellas.
In his castle nearby, the king was feeling very worried and sad and wet.
You know, she isn't the same happy princess.
So he summoned his royal cabinet for advice. The royal accountant, the royal lawyer, the royal writer, the royal efficiency expert, each of them gave their advice.
More taxes.
Tougher laws.
More publicity.
Get rid of her.
Get rid of her? But how?
Marry her off.
Brilliant. I shall give a golden slipper to the suitor who wins my daughter's hand. A golden slipper? Isn't that rather a small prize?
If it's one of her slippers, it's big enough.
So a proclamation was made throughout the kingdom, and one by one, the suitors arrived at the castle to ask for the princess' hand. When they actually saw it, though, they soon changed their minds. The princess became sadder and sadder.
King, you gotta do something. She'll wash out the crops.
So the king began to send the princess for long walks in the woods. One day, on one of her walks, she met a strange little man.
Hello, strange little man.
Hiya, princess.
Aren't you going to run away because I'm so big?
Of course not. Aren't you going to laugh because I'm so funny looking?
Of course not.
So they quickly became friends. Every day they would talk together about all kinds of things. They would laugh together. They even took long walks together. Then one day the princess said,
perhaps you're an enchanted prince. Maybe if I kissed you, you would grow as big as I am.
Well, what do we got to lose?
So the princess kissed the funny-looking little man. He didn't change a bit.
I guess I'm, just not the enchanted type.
Oh, but something began to happen to the princess. She grew smaller and smaller and smaller until she was even smaller than the strange little man.
Oh, this is just the right size to be.
So the funny little man won the princess' hand, which was just the right size now. And he lived happily ever after, and she lived happily ever after, and the king lived happily ever after.
But what about the taxes?
Yeah, what about the taxes?
Oh, don't be silly. We can't have everybody living happily ever after.
soup you really like.
Hey, Rocky! Hey, Rocky! Does Rocky have something up his sleeve?
And up my sleeve? And up my sleeve?
Hey, Rocky! Does Rocky have something up his sleeve?
And up my sleeve? And up my sleeve?
Hey, Rocky! Hey, Rocky! Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat!
About it. I gotta get another hat.
Well, when we left that story last time, things were in terrible shape. Some of the nation's smartest geniuses were turning into complete idiots. It was all the fault of a mean little man from a mean little country.
Go on, say the name. Boris, say the name. Boris, say the name.
I could use the publicity.
Leave it up.
Just a minute. This isn't the end.
No, but it won't be long now.
Oh, good heavens.
Yes, armed with a weapon which fired clouds of a strange substance called goof gas, Boris was lowering the nation's IQ in a hurry. In desperation, the government sent for Bullwinkle J. Moose.
You cold?
Yeah, here's a letter for you, Bullwinkle.
Wowie!
Now, at this very moment, our heroes are hot on Boris's trail.
Just wait, Bullwinkle.
Little realizing that Boris is really lying in wait for them. So as our heroes run to the corner, take that, Moose and Squirrel.
It's like a beautiful bean, Rock. Rock? Rock? I think I shall now be sick.
Who cares?
Rocky! Rocky, baby! Rocky! Rocky, baby! Rocky! Rocky, baby! Rocky, baby! Speak to me!
Sure, who are you?
Who am I? Who am I?
The effect on Rocky was immediate.
Tell me about the rabbit, George.
But the effect on Bullwinkle was negligible.
Didn't bother me much either.
See?
Why didn't goof gas affect Moose?
Because goof gas affects the brain.
And?
No brain. No effect. No brain. No effect. No brain. No brain. No brain. No effect.
Hey, Rocky. Hey, Rocky. Hey, Rocky. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Be with us next time for Standing Room Only.
Like
like to treat them rough and mean. He calls them like a Mexicali jumping bean. He's got a friend jiu-jitsu who just wants to talk. But though he's kind of short, he's really on the ball. Dick Tracy,
he's got a bulldog jaw.
Dick Tracy,
why he's the arm of the law.
Dick Tracy,
well he can prove what they say.
Cheer you up when you're feeling low. With this funny little grin from ear to ear, he'll make your troubles disappear.
What me worry, I don't even care. What me worry, worrying can't get you anywhere.
He bought a little hot rod coop last year. Then he chopped the top and he lowered the rear. Does 90 miles an hour and it shimmies and shakes. Look out, man!
He's got no brakes!
What me worry, I don't even care. What me worry, worrying can't get you anywhere.
He lost an upper middle tooth, and it left a big hole that sort of looks uncouth. But he's never gonna worry, cause he gets a big hand every time he whistles with a rock and roll band. For a scientific job with plenty of pay. They didn't tell him what he's doing, but he'll find out soon when they seal him in the nose of a rocket to the moon.
What me worry, I don't even care. What me worry, worrying can't get you anywhere.
You. Oh, I am so touched. It is a pleasure to...
Three cheers for Mr. Magoo. He's the finest, bravest man we ever knew.
Well, no, I wouldn't.
Three cheers for Mr. Magoo.
Yes.
He's a grand old grad for Rutgers U.
I'm matriculated.
He can see beyond his nose, and no. He isn't very tall, but he's always so polite.
You are,
Mr. Magoo. He may wind up flying a plane to Kalamazoo.
No, Grand Rapids.
But you needn't have a care. He won't know that he's been there. Three cheers for Mr. Magoo.
Well, I just want to say it's a treat to be back at the old college, where, as I say, I... 1902 was such a graduate. I had the Stutz Bearcat and the Pierce Arrow. Oh, we had fun. Oh, down flirtation walk with hands, I tell you. Hugging and squeezing. Well, we did have fun. And the toast out of the slipper. The girl got the cold from walking home in those soggy shoes. Well, in the football game, running around my own end, I tell you, that's not easy. But I love the music and the cheers. He'll be back here.
Everybody now!
Hail, 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 for Mr. Magoo, for the terrible adventure he's been through. Three cheers, and even hooray, for the man who lives the life from every day.
Oh, no, that's just that.
He may put his glasses on, but there isn't any use. He'll be talking to a hat rack.
That's not true. Yeah, that's true. There I go.
He may wind up walking off a cliff or two. That won't bother our old friend. He'll be with us to the end.
You better. Thank you once again.
Three cheers.
How could we forget Mr. Magoo? Oh, the main man himself. Jim Backus, of course, that was. And everybody's second favorite cartoon voice after Mel Blanc, right? Okay. So anyway, where did we start? Way up top of that set. About, set the Wayback Machine for a half an hour, will you, Sherman? Okay. We heard the Tom and Jerry theme song, acapella-wise, from a group called May Tree. They're from Korea, and they are wonderful. Laughing at the Funnies was Ruby Newman and the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Orchestra from 1932. The New Mayfair Dance Orchestra, that was Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse, right? And then Billy Murray, a cylinder. Apparently only 20 of them were made, and we get to hear this one. So we are on hallowed noise here. All right, that was Popeye the Sailor from Billy Murray. Popeye and Olive Oil was Ray Stevens. May Castell and Alan Swift, who was the original Popeye voice, I believe, at least of the 40s, I'm sure. I Like Popeye, that was. And of course, we all like Popeye. In the Garden of Eden was something from The Simpsons. Bart, nasty boy. Bernard Breslau from 1959. He was the sad sack carry-on character, and that was Charlie Brown. Peabody and Sherman, the origin story. No explanations there. Let's see. The Little Princess was another fractured fairy tale. The Bullwinkle Rap from Boris Badenov. I guess that's how he really spells it. Anyway, it was a mix by a guy named Dean Anderson. I don't know. The Chance, and that was, of course, Dick Tracy. What Me Worry, speaking of Chance, that was Alfred E. Newman. Yes, he was a cartoon. Three Cheers for Mr. Magoo. Of course, Jim Backus from 1959 with... Peggy Lee, yes. Yes, good stuff. Anyway, coming up, I didn't include one special cartoon guy, so we got four of them here coming up, and it's a little longer than usual, but I didn't want to break up the set. In the meantime, I'll be back again next week with some more nonsense, and we'll see if we can make some sense out of it together. Okay, does that sound like a plan? Well, good. Anyway, I'll see you then, and carry on.
Well, sometimes I'll see something kind of kooky, and wonder why it's affecting me spooky. Silent or strange, or I don't understand it. Weird or weird, like it's from some planet, reminding me of something that I've already known. Aha, this is kind of like a Gumby episode. One day as I went walking by the Eerie Cyclotron, I saw the workers working with their uniforms on. Oh, so silent, standing around like the statues, not one sound. The truck like a Tonka toy there in the road. Wow. Just like something from a Gumby episode. And I like Gumby.
He likes Gumby.
Yeah. I like Gumby episodes.
Especially certain episodes.
And I still remember the spooky parts. Lights are blinking, looking kind of strange, like an evil dude a-winking. Boy, they are strange, I think. Boy, this is weird, the way they blink. Reminding me of something that I've already known. I know, it's like a railroad crossing in a Gumby episode. And I like Gumby.
He likes Gumby.
Yeah. I like Gumby episodes.
Episodes.
And I still remember the spooky parts.
He still remembers
one. Alright, let's go!
We'll be right back.
ya-ya. Les Zydeco is beans in France. Zydeco is a Louisiana dance. You can try it, you're gonna got the chance. Zydeco gumby, ya-ya.
Jokes and flutes.